Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Nan Mooney is here, too. She's the author of, many of you have seen her other book, My Racing Heart. She's also the author of some other books that you may have seen. Let's see, I've got the title here somewhere. My Racing Heart, The Passionate World of Thoroughbreds and the Track. She is the author of the new, brand new book, I Can't Believe She Did That, Why Women Betray Other Women at Work. And she's our new friend. Nan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here, and congratulations on your brand new book.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, when I saw this book, we talked about it here in the office, and it's very interesting. Your title is very provocative, and when you read about some of the things in your book, to some degree, you might get the idea that this is a more of a modern phenomenon: women sabotaging and betraying other women in the workplace. Because, as you point out in the book, more and more women are in the marketplace. They're taking higher level jobs. The glass ceiling has been cracked, if not broken. And more, as you know, women, small business owners, is the emerging power in the small business sector. But the truth is, this is not a 21st century. This is not unique to the 21st century. This thing with women, is it?
No, it's not at all. And I think one of the things that's making it all that more important right now is exactly what you said. It's simply affecting more women's lives right now because more women are in the workplace and more women are involved in careers or businesses that really matter a lot to them. So they have a lot more invested than they used to when they were maybe just working part-time to earn a little pocket money or something like that. So these issues of conflicts between women have become a very important part of our lives.
Well, women, it's so interesting to me. I've been around, you know, this isn't my first rodeo. And I've been around the marketplace a long time. I didn't inherit my gray hair. I earned all of them. And so I've worked with women all my life, since I worked with my mother on the farm. It's interesting to see how women interact with each other and how different that is from how men interact with each other. And one of the first things I remember that was sort of a moment that gave me pause was the first time I ever heard a waitress say that she would rather wait on men than women.
Well, I heard a version of that comment from a number of the women I interviewed, and I think what they really said was that it's not that there are more problems necessarily with other women, but that men tend to be more direct when there's a problem or there's an issue of competition or something. So if there is something going on, you know about it. They'll say it right out there. They'll say, you know, I don't like the way you did that, or I think you're stepping on my territory. But with women, we get so much pressure from society to be so super nice to each other all the time that when there's a problem, we don't let each other necessarily know about it. So we wind up always sort of second-guessing and not quite trusting someone, because when they saying, you know, oh, you're so wonderful, you look so great, I love your pants, they may really be talking to us behind our backs, because they won't tell us if they've got a problem with us. With men, it tends to be very, very direct and out there.
Well, exactly, because just the other day I said, John, it's after Labor Day, what are you doing with that white shirt on?
Exactly, you know?
A woman would never say that. I love that white shirt.
Yeah.
She'd say, is that winter white? And so, well, it's just interesting to see. Let me ask you a question. Before I do that, here's another thing that I've heard. I've heard women say that they would rather work for a man than for a woman. Now, that's not 21st century talk, is it?
No, and I think it stems from the same thing we were just talking about. I think they just often feel that they can trust what's going on with a man. If there is a problem or an issue that comes up, they're better equipped to handle it than they are with another woman. And of course, when women do work together well, they do so phenomenally. We tend to be much more sort of emotionally centered and relationship centered, so we can really capture that concept of office teamwork. Whereas with men, sometimes it gets into that look out for number one, just the individual success is all that matters frame of mind. But we really do need to communicate about when there's a problem going on, or that's never going to work.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is this thing called chivalry. Mm-hmm. As you know, chivalry has been around for centuries, and the concept of chivalry is basically a level of respect, a level of understanding, an order of behavior that, mm-hmm. that I think that men have developed chivalry. I think it's gotten into our culture. I think it's a masculine kind of attitude. And I've thought about part of the reason why men are the way they are and the women are the way they are is that men are better at chivalry than women are. And when I say chivalry, I'm not talking about how men take care of women. I mean how men deal with each other. There's something there to me that chivalry creates, and I think maybe that's missing in women. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you probably have something there in that women don't, again, because we're relatively new to the workplaces, certainly in the sort of numbers and at the levels of power that we're in there now. So there really is an established code of conduct for women or how we're supposed to interact with each other and how we treat each other. And so in many cases, we've sort of just gone in there and started interacting with other women like we do with our women friends or like we did with our women friends when we were teenagers. Mm-hmm. And that simply doesn't work in the workplace. Whereas men who've been in all levels of the workplace forever really do have these solid codes of conduct down pat. And they have these models that they can work from that women are still trying to form. And we really do need to take action to form them, I think.
Well, and the other thing, and I think this is unfortunate for women, and you alluded to it earlier when you talked about the femininity of the issue is that women are still trying to find out how to be successful, how to be forceful, how to be aggressive, how to make things happen, and still appear to be feminine. That's a tough act, isn't it?
Right, and I think for anybody in the workplace, it's a question of finding that perfect balance between competitive and collaborative. But we're usually coming from opposite sides of the spectrum, whereas oftentimes for women, their inclination is to sacrifice too much and be too nice and too generous. And I have a phrase in my book that I call looking clean but dealing dirty,
right.
Because they really don't know how to appear like they're competing on the outside, so they pretend they're not competing at all, but they really are competing, and that's where we get all that sort of stereotypical female behavior like backstabbing and gossiping and spreading rumors, whereas men usually come from the side where they're too competitive and they maybe need to ratchet it down a little bit, mm-hmm. and work together with the women, work together with each other or with the women a little more effectively.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Nan how self-confidence plays, what kind of part self-confidence plays in this whole dynamic between women working together. She's the author of I Can't Believe She Did That, Why Women Betray Other Women at Work. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. We're having a great visit with our new friend, Nan Mooney. Our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, she's the author of I Can't Believe She Did That, Why Women Betray Other Women at Work. Nan, I've never had so much fun saying a title. I Can't Believe She Did That. I was saying earlier, how many times do I say that every day?
Well, that's exactly why we chose that title, that so many women have said that. I think it makes them realize how much they relate to that problem.
Women, heck, I say it every day. I'm surrounded by women in my organization. I'm always saying, I can't believe she did that. But of course, the subtitle is Why Women Betray Other Women at Work. Give us your website, Nan.
It's www.nanmooney.com.
And can we find out more about the book there?
Yeah, a lot of information there.
And the book's available wherever books are sold?
Wherever books are sold.
It's a serious book, folks. I'm having a little, Nan's, and thank you, Nan, for helping me have a little fun with this, but it's a serious topic. It's a serious book, and I encourage you to check it out, and it might make a pretty good holiday present. Nan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so, and I really agree with you. It is a serious problem, and I think one of the problems we've had in addressing it is that lots of people sort of say, oh, it's just women catfighting, or they're just moody, or whatever, but it's there are serious dynamics going on here, and they really affect our experience in the workplace, in our careers, and our futures, so I think it's something that's really important that women start discussing.
Implied in your subtitle, why women betray other women, or why women sabotage other women, that's another term, that's my term, folks, not Nan's, that implied in that is that women should be, there should be more of a sisterhood You know, there is a brotherhood, right? You know, you know that among men there is a brotherhood. It's part of the chivalry thing. Is there a sisterhood? Does that even exist?
Yes, of course it exists. But I think we need to redefine the sisterhood slightly for the workplace. Because oftentimes the idea of the sisterhood is that same thing we were talking about earlier, where women just support each other unconditionally and never have problems with each other and never have conflicts, and it's all just women go, go, go. And
there's
that's
no
not realistic for the workplace, because there will be times when we're competing with each other,
well, and
when we have to have conflicts with each other.
There can't be excellence when you have that either, can there?
Exactly, because nobody grows at all.
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right. How does self-confidence play a role in this phenomena that you report on?
Well, I think it actually plays a large role because women are relatively new in a lot of these workplace positions, and certainly as they get into more and more positions of authority, sometimes they're the only woman around, and they can feel very insecure in their job, and they can just feel like they don't have enough sort of extra energy to be generous with other women, because they're afraid, you know, if I make her look too good, maybe she'll take over for me and I'll be kicked out, because there isn't that much room for a lot of women. And it can also make women much more sensitive to criticism, which makes it all that much harder to then raise a problem, because you're afraid that you'll hurt someone's feelings or that they'll overreact.
Well, women should be able to do like men do. They should be able to say what they mean. And women who are the recipient of what someone says should not get their feelings hurt the way men don't get their feelings hurt. I mean, that's a hard lesson for a lot of women, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it takes experience. It takes sort of hearing that criticism or hearing somebody's raising a problem with you and realizing that, okay, the world didn't fall apart. I absorbed what they said. I thought about it. I felt like it was accurate or not accurate. I acted on it or didn't act on it. And then we all moved on.
You know what I think? I have a theory I'm going to ask you about, and I've never said this to anybody else before, at least not on the show. I think that young women who have an opportunity to play in sports, to play team sports, you know, to the opportunity to get their nose bloodied and to win and to lose and to deal with that, I think that prepares women better for the marketplace. What do you think?
I think it helps. But there was an interesting thing, because I really thought of this as I was writing the book, and this was one of the questions that I asked the women I interviewed. And, you know, there's sort of this myth that, oh, women just don't know how to compete because they never played sports. But actually, most of the women who are in the workplace today they are what we call Title IX women, and they played sports in school coming all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a gap there. There's still a gap of transitioning those lessons we learn about competition on the playing field into the workplace, where things are a little more complicated and a little more personal.
But I guess my point is, one of the points I wanted to say, what I tell people with young daughters is get them involved in sports. Would you echo that?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been an athlete my whole life, you know, not an expert one, but I learned a lot. I've learned a lot.
It
for work
you, didn't
and
it?
For life.
Yeah, no question. Okay, do you think that one of the reasons why women are behave as you portrayed them in the book, because they are if there's a man in the office or in the business that they might be intimidated by, they don't feel like they can go, you know, mano a mano, so to speak, with him, but they might go, you know, they might sort of take that out on the women because they feel that they can be that way with women. They would not be able to be that in your face, so to speak, with men. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that does happen sometimes. And it's obviously you're not going to go up against the people with more power than you have. And usually it's the men who have more power. So if you're feeling frustrated or you have to assert your authority, you're probably going to take it out on someone who's less powerful. I mean, that's a human dynamic. We see that everywhere. And for women, unfortunately, oftentimes that means taking it out on another woman.
I got 30 seconds, Nan. Last thoughts.
You know what, I just think the most important thing, and we said this, but I think it really, really bears repeating, for women to keep in mind is how important it is to communicate about problems and responsibilities and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that something is wrong with the relationship if you're having a problem.
And
people have problems all the time. That's being in the workplace.
And don't get your feelings hurt so easily.
Right.
That would be my advice, too. Hey, Nan, will you come back another day?
I would love to.
This has been good. I hope you've enjoyed it. We have.
Great. Thanks so much, Jim.
Nan Mooney, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called I Can't Believe She Did That, Why Women Betray Other Women at Work. At wherever books are sold, check it out. She'll be back another day. I'll be back with Art Selinger right after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.